partnering with the Ozarks Public Health Institute. And this education is part of our ongoing efforts to improve communication and public health between state and local health agencies. I'm Lisa Cox, and I'm the communications director here at DHSS. I also have Jackie McReynolds with the Ozarks Public Health Institute on with us today. And I'm excited about this presentation today. So, as public health professionals, your time is very valuable. And in today's session, we hope that you'll learn how to maximize your time while also ensuring the high quality communication that your constituents deserve. Learn how to ask your community partners to amplify your messages and understand the importance of evaluating your communication efforts and practical ways to measure outcomes. Also, many LPHAs are working toward accreditation right now, and we just want to remind you that today's session will also help support your communications measures within that big process that you're going through. So with that, I want to go ahead and turn it over to Breanne Zwiener. She is our special guest today. Breanne, go ahead and take the stage.
Awesome. Thank you. I am going to share my screen here in a second as soon as I can hit the little button. Okay. Theoretically, you should be able to see my screen right now. Hopefully. Perfect. Okay. So there we go. Okay, so I will go ahead and get started. It has not started raining yet here, but I can't say that it won't do that soon because it definitely looks like the clouds will open up. So hopefully it does not because my dog will not like that either. He is currently in the background. He's that little like blurby lump over there that he's kind of hanging out. So I'm really excited to be presenting today. This is a group of folks who really knows what it means to be on all the time. One, because we are in public health, and two, because most likely you do communications or you're your PIO or your social media person. So today, as Lisa was saying, it's not necessarily about being able to do more because we already do a lot. This is not a, hey, we need to be posting more or we need to be pumping out so many different things of, content each week or each day. It's kind of more about excuse me, enhancing what we're already doing so that it's clearer, stronger, easier to manage. It's more organized for ourselves and others. So I'll just go ahead and start with a little bit about myself here. My name is Brianne Sweener. I am the communications manager and PIO at Jefferson County Health Department. I have been in public health for 10 years, and 8 of those years have been in communications. I love, 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 love what I do, very much so. My degree is actually, one of my degrees is in education. So about 11 years ago, if you would have told me that I would be in communications or in public health, I kind of would have laughed at you because I was a middle school language arts teacher and that was my jam. But I have come to find out that public health is cool, like really cool, not just the people, because obviously, but like it's a great field. There's so much happening underneath in public health. If we're doing our job correctly, no one really knows we exist. I think it's kind of time to change that narrative. I think people should know who we are, what we do, and all the things that we kind of touch in a day in a community. I am a Virgo. I am also a perfectionist and an eldest daughter, so I'm sure you'll see a lot of that pop out throughout this presentation. I am also Sammy's mom. So Sammy is my baby over there. He's the little fur ball in the pictures. He is 3 years old. He is a Havanese, and he is my life. He's also in the background right now, and he might make noise, so my apologies if he does. He also does a little weekly segment with me. So I don't know if you can see like that little video, but we do a weekly segment on SharePoint. So we do staff updates, and I put him in a video with me, and we let folks know like what's going on at the agency, things that they should be aware of, forms they need to fill out, HR updates, anything like that. And so he always joins me because people will watch if there's a puppy. Okay. Let's see here.
You're on, I don't see you.
There we go. All right. So, I would say let's show of hands, but we're kind of virtual, so maybe the little hands up thing. But how many of you guys feel reactive most days, whether it be in public health in general or just in communications? Yes. Yeah, I'm already seeing some of those hands. So true. How many of you have answered the same question more than 10 times? Like, let's just say this year. Whether it be internally or externally, right? And then also the other one that I kind of thought was interesting too, I find myself sometimes, have you ever scrolled through your phone or like looked back at your photos on your computer and you're like, I just need a photo to go with this post and I can't find something and I don't want to use a stock photo and you just like sit there and you scroll forever. If you're like me, you end up looking for the perfect one and it takes way too long. but so this is pretty common. This is, oops, sorry. This is the life of a PIO, right? This is what happens. It's not necessarily a competence issue. It's sometimes mostly a systems issue. We have to be really quick to react. We have to rewrite something. We're usually rushing. We are responding to things. Has anybody ever had the experience where they say, hey, can you just send me, can you just turn this into a flyer like really quick? Or I just need something on social media like an hour ago or something. I don't know if that's anybody else's daily life, but that one seems to happen to me a lot. Like, can you just turn this into a flyer? Well, maybe we should look at what we need the flyer for. Okay, so I'm going to move forward here. There we go. Perfect. Here we go. Okay, so what we are going to do today is learn how to make content glow. And I don't mean it like flashy glowing, and I don't mean trendy, like all of the latest things. And as much as I want to, I don't actually mean dancing on TikTok. That would be kind of fun too. But basically, we are looking for clear messaging, prepared responses. We're looking for efficient systems, human tone, and then amplification, things that make it strategic, things that are strategic, that you have done the work, you're ready to go, you know what you have. It's the difference between scrambling and putting things together and knowing that you are prepared. 8 years into comms, my confidence looks a little bit different just from experience and things, but also I've kind of learned on the fly and I've paid attention to the things that made my life easier or what I wish I would have done and that would have made my life easier. So that's what we're talking about when we look at glowing strategies. So first thing is strategy. So glow starts before you even open Canva. And I'm just assuming that most people use or at least know what Canva is. We're talking about creating the strategy. So this is what happens before you even start creating your content posts, your social media pieces, your videos, anything like that. We have to know what it is that we are wanting to create, what our purpose is, what our messages are, who our audience is. We need to have that strategy because if we don't have the strategy, we have the risk of burning out because we don't have anything to kind of confine us. Or you're not sure what to do. Going back to if people ask, hey, can you create a flyer? Can you throw this on Facebook? Can you do this? You need to have a strategy so that can kind of tell you, hey, this is something that we can do. This aligns with our strategic priorities, or this isn't the best method. Maybe we don't need a flyer for that. What are you actually trying to achieve? You want to make sure that you have what you need ready. And posting to post is not a strategy. I learned this the hard way. As fun as it is to just kind of post and throw things out there and just see what sticks, posting to post is not a strategy. You really need to kind of know what it is that you're working towards. So one of the first things that kind of helps with your strategy is your key messages. Do you have your core messages, your public-facing messages? I think of these as kind of like your evergreen content. So what are your main programs and services that you will always have to promote? And that could be all year round, or it could be seasonal. If if you know for flu season, you are going to have obviously you're going to have to, promote flu vaccines. Do you have something for back to school immunizations where you have your key messages or things? Or do you always provide restaurant inspections? Do you always provide WIC services or diabetes screenings? Like, what are the things that you can always kind of fall back on as your core messages? Those are helpful for a few reasons. One, it gives you something to focus on, to look at, to know what it is. If somebody asks you, hey, what does your department do? Or what are you guys working on right now? You have those three, four things that you can consistently run to. You've got them memorized. You feel confident in them. They're also really good for backups when it's time for social media or when you're looking for a press release and you need some kind of content to highlight. Stick with the things that are your evergreens and your key messages. Put a different spin on it. That's also really great for leadership talking points. Sometimes, if your director goes to a new meeting or they meet with a new community partner, they kind of want that succinct, quick little, hey, here's the things I can hit on that make us look good. And you can provide that to them. Side note, there's also a previous Lunch and Learn series. I believe, I don't remember when it was, a couple months back, but it was Sarah Valenza from Lincoln County that did that. So I highly recommend checking that out if you want a little bit more in depth on creating your key messages. There we go. Okay, your comms plan. So this is the other one. How many people have a comms plan? Anybody have like a big old comms plan, Lisa. Okay, yeah. So the thing with your comms plan is it definitely should not just be a binder that collects dust that sits on your shelf, and you wrote it, you did the thing, you met your accreditation status, and we kind of just, we don't look at it. It really is a decision filter. And I didn't start this way either. I kind of was like, okay, I need to create the communications plan. I did the thing. It's in the binder. It looks great. And it was helpful, but I didn't really find myself like actually going towards it. But I did find myself needing a lot of different things, like who are our main audience targets? What is our kind of our buyer personas, so to speak, in the county? What is our voice? What are the colors for our hex code colors for our brands that I can never remember? I mean, now I do, but at the time I didn't. How do I know when I'm supposed to reply to somebody, when I'm supposed to ignore it? Like, I didn't know any of those things. And so it occurred to me, build them into your communications plan. Yes, your, communications plans typically have certain parts, or sections that are kind of standard, but it should also answer what you're prioritizing. So it should be an evolving document. If your strategic priorities change, if your community health needs change and your priorities and your CHIP change, that should update your communications plan as well. What are you prioritizing? What tone do you use? We are public health, so some of us are under our county government, some of us stand separately. We kind of have maybe a funny edge, maybe we're a bit more professional. And kind of keep that tone neutral. What channels matter? I mean, Instagram is really cool. I love Instagram because, I mean, I just like Instagram, and my dog has an Instagram account. So shout out to Sammy Goes Social if anyone wants to follow him. But we don't really get a lot of traction for Instagram for Jefferson County Health Department. So as much as I want to say, let's create content for it, if it's not helpful, if it's not going to enhance our message, then I'm wasting time putting things towards it that aren't going to be helpful for me. And that's where that plan comes into play. What channels matter? How do we determine when to respond to somebody? Also, if you're thinking, should we post this? Reference your plan. Does it go with your strategic priorities? Is it something that's on brand with your voice? Is it something where somebody comments? I don't know if you've ever had that happen, where maybe somebody comments or a troll or something on one of your posts, and you're trying to decide if you should comment or if you should let it go. One thing I highly recommend is creating a rules of engagement and adding that section to your plan. So basically, lining out like when we will engage in the comment section or when we will answer a question. So for ours at Jefferson County Health Department, if it is an actual question that someone's answering, like that someone's asking, so, if we post something about the flu vaccine and they're asking, can we get this on the mobile van? We will respond to that. If they're asking, do you provide the vaccine information statements? Sometimes we usually get a lot of those, like, do you actually have informed decision making? Okay, it could be considered maybe a little bit of a risky one or a touchy subject, but we will respond to it. Our engagement says, yes, we're going to respond to it. They've asked a valid question. We have an answer. We respond. If something would continue in the comments, or if they ask another question and it seems like it's more just to have commentary versus actually getting information, we have a one and done policy. We answer your question and we're done. If you have a follow-up question that we can answer, absolutely. But if it's more of a let's egg on, or we're trying to get some different type of content, or we're wanting to engage you in a heated discussion, our rules of engagement say one and done. We answer, we've done what we're supposed to do, and we let it go after there. So that's another piece of the comms plan that I think is really helpful. Make it work for you. You can have all of the quote unquote stuffy pieces in there, but add the things that you need, the rules of engagement, when to post things. If somebody asks you, hey, can you share this? Does it align with our priorities? Is it a partner that we work with? Things like that. Trying to keep note of my time here too. One of my favorite things that I find to be very helpful is, I know it sounds terrible to say that, my favorite thing is to focus on audience pain points. But truly, find something that your audience wants to know about. So content that glows solves a problem. It has to be relevant. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be, find out all of the issues and then solve all the problems, because we can't necessarily solve the problems, but find out what affects them. Find out what confuses the people in your community. Find out what inconveniences them. The best things that I have found, or for finding your pain points, your inbox is market research. I don't know if anyone has communal, like agency communication emails. Or, like, we have communications at jeffcohealth.org. So, any agency questions come into that inbox and I monitor it. We get questions all the time through that. But that is really good market research, because if I get a boatload of questions about, I don't know, what our operating hours are, or does Google actually take you to your new building address? We don't know where you're located. One of the ones that we get a lot right now are cottage foods. Can I cook this? Can I make this? Can I sell this if it's in a kitchen that was already been inspected? Things like that. That to me, if we're getting a lot of those questions, a lot of that content, that means that that's something that I can create content on. I should create something that explains what are cottage foods, what permitting rules they have, what recommendations we have, where they can go for questions. Your front desk is data too. So, any of the calls that you get frequently, we get a lot of folks that ask, how much is a birth certificate? What kind of ID, or what do I need to bring with me to get one? That provides you content as well, which again, you can create a quick Facebook post and throw it out there, but you can also do a short form video where you show somebody coming in to get that certificate and you need to show your ID. It's $15 or whatever your cost is. Here's the forms of ID you need. Here's who can get one. Here's who can't. Also, environmental complaints are really big content clues, at least for us. We launched a Scan the Score program about a year ago where we have all of the health inspection scores on a QR code at every facility. And the local paper's been picking it up and they've been doing a story kind of almost weekly. So folks are very interested in what is a health inspection score? How can somebody who scored an 82 still be open? Or we don't know what this means. So we find a lot of information there. Look for the things that solve the problems. Again, they don't have to be, the world is falling apart or our car broke down kind of problems, but just where they have questions, what they're looking for. If they say they can't find a doctor who can give an immunization shot because they can't get their kid out of school, tell them about your mobile program. Tell them about how you go into schools. Let them know your hours or your weekends or your special events that you have for back to school immunizations. One of the best things too, which I think we're going to get to in another one, but I'm going to just say it now so I don't forget. Check your Facebook local groups. So if you have like a we have something called Jeffco 411, which is literally what it sounds like. It's a giant Facebook group. There's like 90,000 people in it from Jefferson County, Missouri, and people just post anything and everything. but sometimes there are things that pertain to us. So, for example, someone actually posted over the weekend about a facility that got the lowest score that we've ever provided for a health inspection. And there were lots of folks in the comments. Why didn't they shut this down? What happened here? How can you get this? Perfect time to engage and ask questions, or at least figure out what people are curious about and use that to create your content. Another suggestion here for strategy is to build your relationships before you need them. If the first time that you reach out to a reporter is during an outbreak, that feels very transactional. If the first time that you call, a local partner or a school or maybe a faith-based organizer during a vaccine push because you need to use their space or you would like to make sure their congregation is aware, that's kind of reactive and in the moment. You don't want your first experience to say, "Hi, I'm Brienne. I'm with Jefferson County Health Department, and I need you to blank, blank, blank." You kind of want to start that relationship ahead of time. You want to introduce yourself, let them know, "My name's Brienne. I work for the health department. I just want to introduce myself. I wanted to say, here's some of the stuff that we have going on. Here's some of the pieces that I think would be good stories. If you're looking for something in Jefferson County, we fall like right under the St. Louis area. So a lot of times I usually pitch it as, if you're looking for something a little south of St. Louis, you want to do something a little different, you can definitely call me. We've got lots of fun stuff happening. I've got lots of things we can talk about." So you want to make sure that you're collaborating with them beforehand and get that strategy kind of set up now. So that way, when you need it, because there will be a win, you have those relationships put together. Plus, if they know who you are and they have another story, they might come to you because they see you as an expert, which is really great because then you get to help shape that story and that narrative. All right, so the second section that we're going to talk about is efficiency. So this I feel like is kind of the meat and potatoes of everything. So you do not need to work harder. You just need to work smarter, right? We just need better systems. And it took me a long time to realize this, and I hated when people told me it. You don't need to work harder. You just need, I'm like, you don't know. But sometimes it is true. If we do a little bit of that work in the front part or the beginning, we tend to thank ourselves for it later. I feel like prepared me now is a happy future me. So create your systems now. If it's a downtime for you, create those systems. These are kind of the big, what I would call your enhancement toolkit. And I do have a separate PDF page with a bunch of these listed where you can link out to everything. But these are kind of some of the main things. AI is a big topic right now. One thing to note with AI is it is a brainstorming partner. It is not your final draft. So take it for what it is. Use it to help generate content. Use it to maybe help you create a social listening or give you ideas of, different types of content to post. But don't let it be the only thing that writes your content, because we want to make sure that it stays within your brand voice and it also needs that human impact. Another piece that's really helpful is content creators and the calendars, excuse me, content calendars, sorry. You can do anything with these. You can create something as simple in Excel. You can create something in Google Sheets. You can have a content software. You can use Whiteboard. Myself and Megan, she's on my team as well. We use Microsoft Whiteboard and we have fun little colored sticky notes on there for every month. And we just kind of jot out, hey, these are the things that we really want to talk about. These are the things that we want to hit. And then we'll start brainstorming like literally little offshoots of we should do this as a video or let's make sure we include lead or, something like that. It can be as advanced or simple as you need it. If you've got the budget, look at some of the cool tools out there. If you don't have the budget, Whiteboard, Excel, Google Sheets, those are your friends. Also look at templates. You can pre-make some. So if, especially if you're in Canva, if you have a brand that's already on there, you can make templates for yourself. You can have a flyer template, a social media template, a short video form template, or you can look at the pre-made ones that they have. So Canva does a really good job with this. That's basically what I've been using for the last couple of years. So that's really where my wheelhouse is. But you can go in there and type in community calendar and it'll have templates, or now hiring and it'll have templates for you. Let that do some of the work. I know for me, sometimes that's hard because I like to have my own spin on it. I like to be perfect and I feel like I have to do all of the things, but we don't have to. That pre-made stuff is there for a reason. Or if we create templates to start with when we're not as busy, use those when we are. Use them when we need them. Another one is project management tools. Microsoft Planner is a great one. If it's part of your ecosystem, that's a free one. It's easy. Hootsuite also has project management specifically for social media. Trello is another one that I've heard of that's pretty good. I know that there's a couple other ones out there. If you guys have any recommendations for those, toss those in the comments because I would like to know like what other options are out there, what other pieces are out there. These were just a handful of them. And then design software. I know I've talked a lot about Canva. If you are nonprofit or if you have like a government entity, you can get a Canva license, a pro license at no cost. So definitely look into that if you haven't. Camtasia is a video editing software. That's who we use. It's cheaper than Adobe, but it has more video editing function than Canva does. And they also have discounts and things like that. And then, of course, there's Adobe. I do like Adobe, but they're a little pricey for my budget. So, but like I said, there's lots of other options out there. Were there other tools that you guys had or that you thought Teamwork was one for project management? If there was anything else that you guys had, Trello. Okay, yeah, I've not used Trello, but it comes up on like everything. We use Microsoft Environment, so we have Teams, Planner, Project, Whiteboard, all the things. So we've learned to work within the system that we have. But if you don't know, also ask your IT folks because there might be tools that are in there that you may have access to that you just don't know about, and that you can make work for what you're looking for. Okay, let's move on. So this is some of the big things too. Pre-made responses. This is also how we enhance our communications. Your pre-made responses are going to equal your sanity. Stop rewriting the same answers over and over again. Create canned responses for your frequently asked questions. Make an FAQ library. Make your response templates. Create your media inquiry statements, your holding statements. I literally have a desktop. I have a sticky note on my desktop. You know how you can have like the computer sticky notes on my desktop, and it's literally called canned responses. And I have been keeping track of this since COVID. I had to move the COVID ones to a separate sticky because it got really long. But we get a lot of questions. How much is a birth certificate? How do I schedule an appointment? How do I, again, cottage foods? What's a cottage food? How can I get an inspection? How do I make a restaurant complaint? These are things that I will get frequently, once a day, if not more, at least several times a week. And it gets kind of, it takes a little time to just type out, thanks for your feedback. Thanks for reaching out to us. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the answer to your question. Here's the links that you can go to. Here's how you can report a complaint. I literally have them typed out in the sticky note. And so when it comes up, I go to the sticky note, I copy, I paste, and I send it off. Saves me time, maybe, 30 or 40 seconds. But in the long run, it ends up. Also, it doesn't deplete a lot of my energy. I have to think about, okay, how am I going to construct this email? How am I going to kindly respond to this? Or how do I keep our tone and our voice? I've already crafted it. It's literally saved on a sticky note. Makes my life easier. Especially when you're in a situation, if you're in an outbreak or if you're in a severe weather issue where you know you might going to get questions about road closures or boil water advisories or things like that, have that stuff stockpiled and ready. Pre-made stuff will definitely save you. You'll save time. You'll be able to increase your consistency because your answer is the same across the board. You don't have to worry about emailing one answer to somebody and somebody asks 2 weeks later and it's slightly different. The important thing about this is to do this in your downtime. I know downtime's kind of weird, but if you are not in the middle of an active response, or if you've got, a couple hours in between meetings and you don't really have any big projects right now, take some time to create some pre-made templates. draft up a crisis holding statement. That's where you can use AI to kind of help you, brainstorm some stuff. Create your sticky note or your ongoing Word document or wherever it is. It's also really helpful if you are, like me, somebody usually has to pry you away from your desk and your work when you go on vacation. My boss like actively has to take the phone from me. She's like, "You're not taking this on your vacation." And I'm like, "It's really fine. It's not a big deal. I can handle it." She's like, "You're not taking it." So those are also helpful when somebody else has to be you for a little bit because they may not know the answers. They are just your backup to check the email inbox if you get, a question about cottage foods. They may not know that off the top of their head, but if you already have a pre-scripted draft of an easy, quick response, that makes their life a little easier too. So just something to think about there. Let's see. Ooh, this one is always a good one too. This definitely enhances communications in maybe a not so typical way, but organize your assets. I'm an organized person, so this was kind of a no-brainer for me, but yeah, I put it in here. Future you deserves a photo library, a video bank, your template folder, your crisis draft folder. One of my words of wisdom is always take photos. Always take photos, always take video. Any chance you get. Like my IT department constantly tells me, like, hey, you're gonna hit your storage limit again. You need to like get some stuff off of your phone and your devices. But I take photos and video of everything because you never know when you're going to need it. You don't know when you'll need it for a content piece or when you'll need it for B-roll or something for a story for a reporter that can be helpful. And it's really hard to recreate authenticity later. So one of the things I recommend to kind of enhance your communications is take those videos and take that video when you can, and then build a central library. Organize it however you want. You can organize it by program, you can organize it by year. I organize mine by year, so every year literally has a file and it goes all the way back to 2016, and it just 2016 photos. And then in there I have, specific events, so family fun day or vaccine clinics or just general employee photos. That way I can kind of keep track of it and I know if I need something, I can go back to it. I have it. Future will you will definitely be very grateful if you start organizing those assets now. That way, if you're in a crisis, you don't have to necessarily worry about it in the moment. You know you've got your plan. This is a huge one. Use downtime strategically. So when it is quiet, prepare. Or when you start getting the whispering of something, start preparing then. The example that I was going to show is, I think it was it last year? Maybe it was the year before when measles was kind of popping up, and we had an exposure at the St. Louis Aquarium, and there was kind of these rumblings of like, okay, we might see some measles cases, we may see some exposures, we may have some local contacts, things like that. As soon as I got word of that from our CD team, I immediately started working on anything and everything measles. So prepare all of the things that you need to do. I think, hopefully it's still showing it. I literally that same day I went to the computer and I was like, okay, we're gonna create all the things. I didn't actually end up needing any of this or using it, but I had it ready because I wasn't sure. I wanted to be prepped and ready. So here's where it was at. Here's how I'm gonna list the date and time, the description of where they were at, if we needed to do a potential exposure list. I created it in a different format in case I needed it for, I don't know, some different looks or how, catch people's attention. And then I just started creating some info posts. So if you were on location at the time, here's some general info, what you need to know, what the symptoms are. Sorry if I'm scrolling, it makes people sick. My apologies. Things about the measles vaccine. What you need to know about the measles vaccine, and then kind of some of our key points to kind of really put that into place. So, 9 out of 10 people lack immunity, about 1 in 5 who get it will be hospitalized, and then explaining some of those pain points, right? Or some of the things that people herd immunity was a huge thing that was going on. Everyone was like, oh, my kid's fine, or they don't need that. They go to school with other kids, and herd immunity is a thing. So explaining that, breaking that down to people, like if this is where we're at, let's have this conversation. And then I also started prepping things for, hey, if we need to do some kind of campaign and I need people to really think about vaccinating their kiddos who haven't done that yet, let's talk about what that could look like. So I try to put together the graphics for, hey, this is why I vaccinated my children, because it would protect the family, visit my niece safely, and then do my part. So I would get video. My plan was to get video of folks who chose to vaccinate their kiddos and put that into this template. And so that it was community messengers, community people that not just Brianne from the health department or, Steve Sykes, our director from the health department, saying, you should get your kids vaccinated. It was people that they went to school with, their soccer coaches, the people who go to their kids' Christmas concerts, things like that. And then again, making sure, checking all the things, right? So just creating all of this content ahead of time. So it was ready and prepared. And I think, oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry. Trying to get back to it. Okay. There we go. So yeah, Sarah, thanks. Love this. Yeah. It was, honestly, fun fact. I actually created most of that in the back of my car in a parking lot at a vendor event because I was at like a senior expo and, yeah, we had my boss called me and was like, hey, we have some things. And I was like, oh, so I just went out and sat in the back of my car and like created all this with my hotspot on my keyboard. I think I actually sent somebody a photo of it. I'm like, people who don't know what PIOs do, this is a perfect example of why we do what we do. Okay, so engagement. This is kind of the fun one. Highly recommend the state did one for social media specifically. I think it was Spencer and Sammy Joe that put that one together, but it was a really good presentation, so definitely recommend that. I kind of piggybacked a little bit, but good information is not enough. We are public health, we are science focused. So we think, yes, good information. This is Spencer all the way. Hey, we have information to show. People should be fine with this. We're telling them what it is. We value precision, but most of the time our audience values clarity and relevance. We have to remember that we have at least a goldfish, if not less, than a goldfish attention span. So if it's dense, if there's too many words, people scroll on. If it's too confusing, they're like, whatever, this doesn't seem real. If it's too long, they're gonna skim it or they're literally just gonna keep scrolling. We have to enhance it to make it clear. Just because it's accurate does not mean that it is engaging. We compete with TikToks and jokes and memes and trending content and misinformation, and all the things. So we have to stay kind of hip to the times, but we also have to make sure that our messages land. One of the things to think about with that, something that can help enhance your communications. Stories are greater than statistics. Data informs, stories move people. Statistics are necessary, obviously. Again, we are public health, we are science-based. So statistics are important and they are necessary, but stories are memorable. So find a way to pull that story piece and or use both. Think about patient stories, obviously with consent, but I think my attorney said that I really need to make sure I put that on there. Your staff spotlights, have the people who do the programs talk to people about why they do the programs, what it is that they do, why it's important. Look for community narratives, how your programs have impacted other local organizations or groups of folks. You want to find the way that that hits them. So going back to the measles descriptions and stuff that I had there, you can say, rates increased or our vaccination rate is 94%. And that's great. That's a good statistic. We cite our source. We're clear. We're making sure people know that we have relevant, accurate information. But being able to say, this is why I vaccinated. This is why my child is vaccinated. Having that human element to it is another piece that helps enhance that communication. It helps people identify with it. It helps them interact with it. And then, thus, interacting with it, you will get more interactions. Whether it's social media and you just get more clicks and likes, or whether it's, hey, somebody mentioned something and now somebody goes searching for it, or they know your name at the top of the list when they think about measles vaccinations. And again, it does depend on the message and the issue. You know, sometimes you have to rely on data, but try to consider humanizing the content when you can. I don't think it weakens anything. I don't think it makes a message less important or less data-driven or less scientific. I really think it just strengthens connection and enhances the likelihood that somebody is going to identify with it and actually do what you're hoping for, or at least hear your message. So I definitely want to encourage that one. Social listening. We kind of already talked about this one a little bit, but there are some social listening tools out there. Like specifically, I know there's Talkwalker. I think they have something with Hootsuite. There's a bunch of like free ones out there, but find your social listening platform. If you've got money in your budget for that, great. You know, go purchase social listening. Like I said, I know Talkwalker is one. I cannot think of the other one to save my life. If you know any of those, drop those in the comments too. There's a lot of like freer tools out there or tools that kind of help guide you. I know the Public Health Communications Collaborative, they have like a misinformation kind of guide. The Monitor by the Kaiser Family Foundation, they kind of take a look at the trending stories that are out there and how you can address it. One of the best ways too is get on your community social media groups and kind of stalk. I mean, not in like a creepy way, but sort of. I join all of the groups. We have Jeffco 411, but every little township has their own, right? There's Hillsboro 411, Cedar Hill 411, What's Up DeSoto, DeSoto Missouri News, like all the things. Join as many of those as you can. And just listen, just look at what's being posted, look at what people are talking about. And again, it may not have anything to do with you per se, but that is how you'll find the way to join the conversations, which is so much more valuable than trying to pull people to you. You really want to make sure that you have that like engagement platform. If they're already over here having this conversation about food inspections, yes, I mean, you don't want to drop in on every single like every single post. But if you can take that information and there's clearly some questions, this is when you can go in and add some information and or learn, create content outside of it, and then share it there. Look for trending misinformation, whether it be from specific tools or just things that you're noticing in your own community. Look for repeated confusion. A lot of times people will have the same question or they'll start commenting and you'll notice, okay, that's not right. That's really not right. I should probably help clear this up. And then sometimes just ask questions directly. Something that Megan and I really kind of want to start is a public health poll. So I don't know, we've talked about maybe once every couple of weeks, just putting out a poll and asking a public health question of maybe start with less controversial topics first. And then just ask and see what they say, what their topics are, what their answers are, what they're wanting to learn about. Oh, bye, Sarah. I also there's I Heard St. Louis. If nobody has heard of this one or signed up for it yet, there is a program. It's through the Washington University Health Communications Lab. They have like a weekly thing where they send it out to their community via email or sometimes text, and they ask them a question like, have you heard about Narcan? Do you know what Narcan is? Or do you know how to apply for disaster relief when they have their tornadoes? And they take that information and they pull them, and then they use that statistic. So they say, hey, 37% of people, you know, don't know about Narcan. Yes, thank you, Kimberly. And then they create content for it. And I think it's awesome. That is like the coolest thing ever. That is literally your own little social listening filter. So sometimes it's creating it yourself versus finding a tool that's out there. I just keep kind of foaming at the mouth here. I'm also recognizing my time, so I'm trying to move fast. One of the other things, plain and transparent. In the age of plain language and website accessibility, document accessibility, keep it short and simple. Use bullet points, use examples, use analogies that make sense, that are easy. Tell people exactly what you want them to do. Make it scannable. There's lots of plain language resources. I've got them all on the PDF, which I can put in the chat afterward. Plainlanguage.gov. You know, there's lots of things out there. Hemingway for reading level, for grade level reading is really good. I literally just plug stuff into Hemingway and it tells me, hey, this is a ninth grade level. You should probably, and it even recommends change this word, make this two sentences, things like that. Keep it simple, keep it human, short and sweet. Tell people what it is they need to know, tell them what it is you want them to do and why they should do it. The last part we're going to look at is sustainability. So this is a huge piece of enhancing your communications and making sure you don't burn out. I call it an emergency glow kit, but really just kind of having your emergency kit prepared. Being prepared is better than being reactive. And it took me a little bit to learn that because I thought I live in chaos and I can thrive. No. Being prepared helps. Make sure you have an updated media list. Know who your contacts are, have their emails, have their cell phone numbers. Know the other PIOs or other people that can help, not just in your agency, but your people, your little tribe, your folks that are going to help you if you have an issue and you can say, hey, does anybody have anything that they've had to do? Has anyone put out a press release for measles before? Has anyone had a West Nile, human case that they can help me navigate and things like that? Draft your holding statements, your quick little, this is where we're at. We work with Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services to monitor all communicable diseases. We're working on this. As more updates come available, we'll let the public know. Things like that. Have that stuff ready. Have your templates, have your canned responses. If you know there's something specific, have that all together. This is our phone number. This is where you can find updates. Always check our website, etc. And then know who your messengers are too. Know who those people are that can help amplify when push comes to shove. So if it's with families and schools, know your school superintendents, know the school PIOs, have all of the information ready to go. I really honestly keep most of everything on my phone. I have my contact lists and all the things. So if I am sitting in the car on my way to, I don't know, going to see a movie on a Saturday night and somebody calls me and says, hey, we have this problem here. I can do what I need to do from my phone in that moment because I know I'm prepared, I have what I need, and I can figure it out. That has been a huge game changer for me. So prepare now so future you is thankful. Again, it's not extra work, it's things that you're already doing, but have it prepared, put it together, organize it, have it ready, work smarter, not harder. One of the other things too for sustainability is start when it's small, address it early. So I know we've all probably learned a lot about the age of misinformation, and it grows when it's ignored and or amplified. So my recommendation here for enhancing your communication is be first and write your own story before someone else does, because they definitely will, and it will be a lot harder to change that once the narrative is written. So if you think there is a a potential or a measles case or a boil advisory or something like that, just push it out there early. Obviously, make sure that it's clear and accurate, but make sure you get that out there. Don't wait for someone to ask a question. Don't, wait for, well, maybe this one isn't going to be. Get your information out there first when it's small. May not seem like a big thing, but it will save you a lot of work and a lot of pressure on the back end. I actually learned this lesson the hard way. And it's not a lot of fun when the community has already decided your version of the story. It's really hard to change their mind after that. So that is always my recommendation. And then also think about who the other messengers are. This is a huge thing for enhancing communications. Who amplifies you? Is it your school partners? Is it faith leaders? Are there nonprofits that you work with? FQHCs? Are there influential local voices? Are there folks that have, like a Facebook Live segment or they go out and do fun stuff? I know recently there's been a guy, or I guess a couple folks, they are called White Trash Adventures. Has anyone seen these guys? They are on, I've seen them on Facebook, but they're also on TikTok. And they go around like the St. Louis area and they just visit different places and they explain like what's happened. So a lot of times they've been going to restaurants. So they've hit up a couple places in Jefferson County, like Gordon Stoplight. And they literally just come out and they say, hey, we're White Trash Adventures. Here's what we're doing. They have a huge following. So they may not always be, the most accurate information, but when they're talking about food restaurants, I know a lot of people look at them. So if we're wanting to push information out about food safety or where to go to get that information, we can ask them. hey, the next time you do this and you go visit a restaurant in Jefferson County, can you let people know that they can find the health inspection scores by scanning the little sticker that's on the front door? And that right there helps amplify our message. We didn't have to push that out, but lots more people will see that and they'll trust that because this is somebody that they engage with all the time. Fun fact though, seriously, if you haven't checked out White Trash Adventures, you should definitely do that. They've got some fun content. So again, just think about who your messengers are. And sometimes that's your staff. Sometimes that's just having other employees share your content. That's a game changer. Your information spreads through networks. So find your people now. And if you don't have them, start making friends. Start doing some networking and go to community meetings and community events and find your peoples. This was one of the challenges that we were going to do was just to kind of look at some content here and maybe look at how we can enhance it. But I know that we only have about 9 minutes left, so I didn't know if we wanted to go through this part or if we maybe wanted to see if there were any questions or comments or anything first. I don't know, Jackie or Lisa, you tell me kind of how we want to go forward.
I think we could, if you'd like, or Jackie, unless you think differently, I think we would just keep going. And if you have to drop off, you can always catch the last few minutes on the recording. Would that work?
Yep, no. Works for me. As long as I just want to make sure because I can talk. That's one thing I've always been told is I can talk. So, okay. So what I kind of wanted to do was just show an example and then kind of talk about how we could glow it up, right? How we can make it a little bit better. So this is kind of just our initial message. Jefferson County Health Department wants to inform residents that influenza vaccinations are currently available during regular business hours. Individuals are encouraged to contact their primary care provider or visit our website for additional information regarding eligibility, insurance coverage, and clinic availability. Ouch. It's accurate. It is professional. Technically, it's fine. But does it glow? How could we make it glow? What's something that you would do to change this or to enhance it, rather? Feel free to just shout it out or type it in or anything. Thinking about some of the stuff that we talked about before, simplify it, active voice. Yes. Yeah, one of my previous bosses used to get on me about active passive voice. It's like stuck in there. Simplifying it, making it more human, telling them what it is that we want them to do, things like that. So let's take a look at a glowing version. One of the first things that we did was we added a hook. Flu is already showing up. Are you ready? We've got kind of our thing that says, hey, we're letting you know, rather than we want to inform residents, now we're grabbing their attention. Flu is already here. Are you ready? This kind of engages people. It can kind of create that sense of urgency, but it makes it relevant because it's already here in our community. It's not just some random thing that we're posting about. Pulls people in. Again, it's engaging. Maybe it's a little less formal, but if it gets people to look, we also made it scannable. I'm still kind of on the fence about emojis, with social media and things like that. I feel like sometimes it's, yes, social posts may want to break down the information in several slides, 100%. I don't know. I feel like sometimes with emojis, they're helpful, but then I also feel like in the back of my head, if you use an emoji, it just screams, I used AI for this. So I have to get rid of that kind of thing in my head there. But we made it scannable. Before it was just one dense paragraph. No one is going to read that, especially not on a social media page. We've got short lines, we've got bullets, we've got emojis that kind of help. Even if they're not reading the content, they can scan and see what the icon shows. And it's scannable. It shows you where to start, where to follow. We also clarified the action. We basically said before, contact your primary care provider. That may not even have been specific. And also, some folks don't have primary care providers. So this time we were specific. Here's our number. Here's when we're open. Here is the address. Here's how you find us. We also added our humanizing portion of it, right? Protect yourself. Protect your family, protect your community. We've made it applicable. We've told them what it is. We've tried to humanize it, add that kind of emotional piece to it. And then another way that we did to enhance this one was to amplify it. So this particular one, we would tag school partners because in addition to going to some of the schools, we usually try to, in providing that vaccine on site, we usually try to let parents know, like, hey, we are also available outside of clinic hours or outside of school hours if you need that. So we usually tag some of our school partners. Obviously, I've had a conversation with their PIO or their superintendent beforehand and said, hey, we're going to be pushing this information out. Is this something that you would be able to help us, kind of reach the parents, the audience that we're trying to get through? So you can tag a partner or maybe an event or an agency or something like that that can help. I love emojis, but you have to be careful about choices because some have offensive alternative connotations. Yeah, that's very true. And I don't know if I saw something with emojis and accessibility. I feel like Sammy Joe or Spencer or somebody would be good on that, but I thought I saw something about like emojis and accessibility in there. So I don't know, just something to think about with that for social media. Yeah, they don't translate to text. Okay, so I'm going to skip ahead here to the very second to last slide. We talked through a lot of stuff. I mean, I do like to talk, so sorry. But things that you can do now: clarify your key messages, figure out what your key messages are, build one template, build a flyer template, build a social media template, build a situational template. Perfect example, we might have some bad weather. Put some stuff together for, flooding or power outages or storm damage. Organize your assets. Even if you don't look at anything in the past, start from now. Organize your assets. Take your pictures, take your video, start a file for 2026. Start a file for, maternal child health or dental or whatever that is. Find a way to organize your stuff so it helps you. Draft a crisis statement. Could be something that, you're kind of maybe hearing whisperings about, or there's something on the back burner, or draft a crisis statement for something that's, we all know that happens, right? So we had to either close a restaurant down, or we confirmed our first case of West Nile in a mosquito population, or, the first flu case or something. Just find something that you know that you're going to need at some point and draft that now. Have it ready. And then strengthen a relationship. Reach out to a reporter, reach out to a community partner, reach out to another PIO. With that said, here's me. If you need a friend and you want to be my friend, here's my information. I'm happy to be helpful. I do truly, genuinely like what I do, and I like making connections and helping people and pulling together, because the more people we have that think public health is cool and we can push that out there, the cooler it's going to be. So I talked a lot. I apologize for that, but I am going to unshare my screen and I'm going to drop in the chat the PDF file with all of the resources on there. And I really appreciate your time. I'm really excited about this. If you have any questions, please reach out to me and I will give it back to Sammy, Joe, and Lisa.
And thank
And
you. And
thank
do
you.
not apologize for talking because that was wonderful. Thank you
I tend to do that a lot.
very much. I know you had also mentioned Sarah's presentation that was a couple months ago, and I did want to go ahead and drop in the chat for everyone real quickly the series. If I can find my chat back, there it is. If you want to go back, if you haven't been on some of the previous Lunch and Learns, Jackie has all of those previous recordings listed here on this link. But do want to go back? Questions for Sarah or Brianne? Sorry, I had Sarah on my mind there. For Brianne.
I am trying to find a way to drop that PDF in the chat, but I guess I'm not figuring it out. So I think Jackie has it. If maybe you guys just want to email it out or something, or just add it to
We could add it to
the
this,
add
the
the
space
hub.
on the
Yeah.
hub. Yeah.
There's probably a way to do this, but I've clearly missed it. So
Want to help, but I'm not sure either. Yeah, I don't think there is a way here.
okay. Yeah. Well, like I said, Jackie has it. So I know she'll put that. She said she'll put it on the hub. And if anybody wants it or anything else, like I said, my email, or just honestly find Jefferson County Health Department's website. Any way that there is to contact us there, I get those. So reach out that way too.
Call 911 and Jeffco, and you just say, I need Brianne. I need Brianne.
Right.
And they find
Honestly, I
you.
do have the after hours duty phone. So if you do call dispatch, they'll just patch it through to the after hours line.
That's what I was afraid of, Brianne.
Yeah, I know I do really have a problem, but I'm trying, so it's better. Thank you again. I really appreciate the opportunity. It was great to present today.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate you being on with us. And we'll go ahead and close out. And like Brianne said, I'm sure if you have questions, she'll always be willing to help. So thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.